Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Twin and Movie Podcast. I am your host, Nerdpool Prime. Thank you so much for joining me. Today we're going to talk about Moon Knight. No surprise there, no surprise at all. Now that being said, this entire episode is going to be one big spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen episode 5, The Asylum, from Moon Knight season 1. So if you haven't seen that, do yourself a favor, go watch it, or not get mad at me for spoiling it for you. But I wanted to start off and talk about how I really enjoy this show more than I realized initially. I've been hypercritical of the show since the beginning for many reasons. We'll get into some of those in a little bit. But as a overall show so far, I feel like the only thing that sucks about it is that the episode structure actually is a detriment to this story. I feel like they could have done it a little bit differently. I feel like this could have been more of like a two-part or three-part like mini-series where like the first two episodes, for instance, were put together. The first, and then one, two together, three, four together, and then 5 and 6 together. Because it watching it as a whole story suits this storyline much better, in my opinion, than the episodic format once a week. And at least for the duration of the episode and how much they cover. So I don't know. Obviously, it's going to be tough for them to do anything else. They can't make it a movie. It'd be too long of a movie, and it couldn't be just the way they have it structured. It just this is the only way they could do it. So I have to kind of retract that complaint. And I'll get into a little bit more some of my other complaints that have now since been remedied, I would say. But that's the first little beginning spiel of it. So what we're going to start off with, episode 5, Asylum, is hands down, without question, the best episode of the series so far. And in all honesty, it is a series saver for me. Like I said a little minutes ago, it changed the way I look at the entire series. I spoke on my podcast many times at this point about how I have no problem sitting through bad movies for certain parts, and they save the movie for me, such as episode 1 and 2 of the prequel trilogy in Star Wars. In The Phantom Menace and The Clone Wars, there's a lot of things wrong with both those movies. A lot. And people make fun of them for just reasons. Jar Jar, for instance. And then a bunch of other things. But I'll sit through those movies for a chance to see the Duel of the Fates, for instance. Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon versus Maul with that amazing Williams soundtrack. Oh, it's just amazing cinema. Or like the Yoda fight, to see him fight finally after all these years of being told he's just this great warrior and never being able to see it, we got to see it. So I'll sit through those movies just to get those parts. And this episode very well be that point for me where I will watch the entire series just to get to this, because I'm not the type of person that's just going to go watch a single episode. Like, for instance, like with The Mandalorian, I don't just go watch the season finale where Luke shows up. I go and watch that entire arc. And it doesn't make any sense not to for me. So I definitely am looking at this series in a much more favorable light since this episode. I've watched this episode numerous times. It's my favorite. I'm in love with this episode. I could watch this episode all day, every day, and be totally okay with that. Now, moving on, I want to once again praise Oscar Isaac. His ability to portray different versions of himself is nothing short of outstanding. It's not just a change in the accent, hairstyle, or clothes. He changes mannerisms down to even the eye movement. Like, if you look at Mark, he's more direct and staring and cold and calculating, where you can see this youthful, almost joy in Steven in almost every part. Or even when they screamed, they are doing the exact same scream but in different ways. And we'll also talk about that a little bit later when I mention the third persona. But it's just, it's pretty remarkable, in fact. And I would bet that if you put both of them in a picture with no words or anything, same clothes, even the same hairstyle, just by the way they're standing and how they're looking, it'd be easy to tell them apart. I mean, think back to the scene where he's crying outside his mother's Shiva. Another nod to the character's heritage, and I'm getting happier and happier with that. It's obviously clear that he is Jewish, the character, and that is huge. But not just seeing how passionately and believably he's crying in this scene, you can really feel the pain there, which is ironic because there's actually no pain there. It's just imaginary that he is portrayed onto his acting. And then when Steven takes over and the deer in headlights look, the confused look, it really looked like he was, you know, quote unquote, coming to his senses. And I mean, just bravo. I mean, bravo, bravo, bravo. It was amazing. I have also decided now to adopt a new canon with this show. And this is part of what I was talking about earlier. I made a big issue about the character Mark Spector, aka Moon Knight, not being played by a Jewish actor. Now, while I still believe that is the case, it should be a Jewish actor, I am going to concede and change my own headcanon to say that they really tried. They brought in hundreds of Jewish actors, but none of them could pull it off. None of them could display in the auditions that they had what it takes to play this incredibly difficult role. And then that's when they look to Oscar Isaac. I'm accepting that as my headcanon. That's also part of the reason why I'm enjoying the show more, I think. Because I can let go of that, I guess you can say, bitterness or whatever you want to call it, towards the casting. And I've always said, I mean, Oscar is a fantastic actor, and I knew he was going to be able to portray it amazingly. I never doubted that, and I never said that him was a bad casting. I thought it was a wrong casting due to the heritage of the character. It would have been a big deal if they did that with almost any other character. But again, hats off to Oscar Isaac. He deserves every bit of praise for this. If he doesn't get an Emmy nod, then no Marvel character will ever get an Emmy nod. He should win. I mean, the ability to do what he's doing is absolutely unparalleled to the majority of not only roles in Hollywood, but actors' abilities in Hollywood, in my opinion. But yeah, so that's another thing I've adopted and allowing me to enjoy the show more. Now moving on, there's little things I noticed. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've watched a whole bunch of the breakdowns and seen a lot of things. One thing I thought was really interesting is the QR code in this episode, as you've seen in many episodes before. If you scan it, it brings you to a Moon Knight comic. And this Moon Knight comic is Moon Knight number one, Moon Knight's first solo series, and just happens to be the first appearance of the Alters, Jake Lockley and Stephen Grant. So, you can take that what you will. Again, we've had different ones show up that didn't really apply to the episode, but I try to make it apply even if it's not there. So, who knows? Now, I also want to say I loved the line about the afterlife when Mark was going, "Oh, the afterlife." And Tarwet was like, "Well, it's not the afterlife." She says, you'd be surprised how many intersectional planes of untethered consciousness exist, like the ancestral plane. Huh, beautiful. Gorgeous, actually, she says. Now, this is a blatant reference to the ancestral plane seen in Black Panther. The production team has gone on record in saying that every single Easter egg was 100% planned and purposefully put there. So, I feel like this gives a little more legs to my theory about who Arthur Harrow actually is. In the comics and in mythology, to my understanding, Bas, the Panther God, is actually considered to be Khonshu's brother or half-brother, depending on who the mother is, because as of right now, we don't really know. So they are both sons of Amon-Ra, who has an avatar, the Sun King, and that's Harrow, in my opinion. It just seems to have he just seems to know too much. And while it's possible he learned all this stuff as he was, while he was the avatar of Khonshu, it seems to be even deeper knowledge to, and extends to even having power over the other gods. And I think the season finale could prove this. We'll have to wait and see about that. Now, in my opinion, again, as I mentioned in previous episodes, there was a bit of rivalry between Ra and Khonshu. And I feel like, as we mentioned in previous episodes of the podcast, there are plenty of connections there. But I feel like if you wanted revenge, you would go after the same avatar. That's why I feel like it's Harrow. And people, they don't know. They're just assuming that it's just this person who was a former avatar. I think for sure that it could definitely be Amon-Ra, the Sun King. Just saying. Called it last week. All right, moving on. Let's talk about the Dr. Harrow of it all. Those scenes are definitely quote-unquote mental breaks. Mark takes inside his own mind. This is confirmed first by Towerette when she says, "I believe you're taking a little bit of a break there," which is it comes up in the moments of supreme stress. His mind trying to make sense of it all and trying to rationalize what he's seeing. Also, that, like I said, that happens with moments of stress for both Mark and Steven. They go to see the doctor whenever they're freaking out. Like when Mark starts freaking out and smacking himself, talking about, "You can't make me live that again. I won't do it." He then goes in and it's Jake. I'll get to that in a minute. And then Steven, when he realizes he was just made up as more of like a protection for Mark, he screams, "Let me out, let me out." And poof, he's right there in front of Dr. Harrow. And side note, I love that Ned Flanders line. Just saying. Also, the doctor, as I said, interacts with all three altars. I don't think it hasn't been explicitly said or truly revealed to the audience, but I think that Jake has appeared numerous times, actually. He is the one with the bandages on his nose that gets very aggressive and picks up that glass pyramid. Subconsciously, I believe Mark knows about Jake and his violent tendencies and has, quote-unquote, blocked him out of the knowledge of both the version of Mark as well as Steven, because it's a way for Mark to protect himself from the worst things he's done in service of Khonshu. Well, and prior, obviously, but I'll get to that in a second. I believe in the final episode he will be quote-unquote introduced, and we will find out that he was created when childhood family friend Ernst, who I have talked about on previous episodes, so go back and check that out for a more in-depth breakdown of the characters, I'm not going to do that here, was revealed to be a serial killer of Jews. In the comics, he was a Nazi who pretended to be a rabbi and was a family friend of Mark, and that's when his dissociative personality disorder kicked in. But more on that later. They also changed Bushman for the show. Bushman in the comics was Raoul Bushman and was born in the small African nation of Burunda. In the show, it appears that they are just adopting the name similar to Arthur Harrow, unless my theory is correct. And because now he's his old commanding officer. So that I feel like that throws it out the window that he is the same Bushman that we know from the comics. And I do think it's funny that they did decide to make Harrow a doctor, at least at some point in the show, even if it was just in a vision. Also, Randall Spector in the comics didn't die as a child. Bushman and Mark slaughtered a group of rebels on the Egyptian border, and Randall happened to be one of them. He was shot and left for dead, and later revealed that he survived and swore vengeance on both Mark and Bushman. He later returned as an adversary to Moon Knight, going by the name Shadow Knight. It'll also be interesting to see if they go a similar route here. It is possible that he was presumed dead and could return again in the future of the MCU as a surprise appearance, much like he did in the comics. Now, I feel like that's a stretch, obviously. And it could be just the fact that they are using character names and similar information from the comics, as it seems that they're more just, this is more inspired by than an actual adaptation of Moon Knight, in my opinion, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And I hear a lot of complaints about that from a lot of different sources, and I disagree with it entirely. I feel like it doesn't. You don't have to take panels from the comics and just put them on the screen and make it so. Now, granted, those scenes are amazing. Like in the trailer of Thor: Love and Thunder, you have that almost exact replica of a scene from the Jason Aaron Thor run. So you know that's. It can go both ways. It's great when it's done right, but it doesn't have to be every single storyline. Like, same thing, think about the Infinity War. I mean, it wasn't like the Infinity War in the comics. Is that a problem? No, you didn't complain about that. You liked the adaptation of that. So there's no reason to complain about this not being the same. And I've complained about it, but I've complained about it for different reasons. I don't mind them taking the artistic approach and changing things. I just feel like they were changing things for the sake of changing things. Now, I will talk about this later. I feel like now I was wrong about that. They changed things for a very specific reason. I'm going to talk about that at the end of this episode. So let's take a moment of silence for our good friend Stephen Grant. Because it looks like after this episode, the Steven we knew will be no more. So we're going to take a short, short moment of silence. Okay. R.I.P. Think about it like this way. So this whole episode was about balancing the scales, you know, revealing everything to both altars so they're equal and they're not empty, half empty, yada, yada, yada. After Steven makes peace with him being a creation of Mark, used to protect him from the trauma, and in doing so help Mark get past his guilt for the apparent death of his brother, he then sacrificed himself again to save Mark. Now, in doing so, he fell into the sands of the Duat, the Egyptian underworld. And now, when that happened, he turned to stone. Now, before we continue, let's talk about the implications of that. So, this leads me to believe that, in fact, Steven had his own soul that was being weighed. Mark and Steven's soul was being weighed. When his soul was removed, the scales immediately balanced. And then Steven was immediately transported to the Aru. I'm sure I said that wrong. AKA the Field of Reeds that we saw in the episode, at the end of the episode. Now, first off, why did the scales balance? And why was there still two hearts on the scale? Even if Steven is gone, there should be only one then. Now think back to last episode, the other sarcophagus that was violently shaking. I and many other people believe that is Jake Lockley III, Alter from the comics. And as I mentioned earlier on previous episodes, I believe we've been introduced to this Alter already. Think back to the bloodbath all the way back in episode 3, titled The Friendly Type, the one with the Ramatut Easter egg and the imprisonment of Khonshu, and when he manipulated the sky. And again, here in this episode, as I mentioned earlier, the scene when we first see Dr. Harrow, it's Mark. When we first see it, we think it's Mark. I think it's actually Jake. Watch the scene carefully. He looks more confused, especially when he's called Mark. There's also a subtle change in accent in the speech patterns, and the eye movement. He was also a lot more sarcastic than we've seen the others act. Again, thinking back to that rooftop fight scene in episode, in episode 3, are we fighting or are we dancing? And here he's sarcastic again. He's like, I feel great. I feel like $1 million. I mean, you must have put a lot of money to this place. And then that's when he gets angry and tries to attack both Harrow and himself. And that's when Harrow starts pushing the button, like, oh, we gotta stop this, and he gets drugged up. Excuse me. That, I think, is Mark's subconscious mind putting the more violent and erratic Jake to sleep by, quote-unquote, drugging him. Side note, I really love that joke Mark makes when he comes back to the seeing Tower Red and they're screaming. He goes, wow, those meds are amazing. I also loved right there in that scene where she says, this will bake your noodle. I think that's oddly reminiscent to the line from The Matrix delivered by another construct. Oracle, and then trying that character who's guiding the hero to understanding who they am and be and accepting their role as the hero. Now, I feel like the reason why the scales balance is because subconsciously Jake doesn't really have anything that he's hiding per se. Of course he's there blocking the traumatic violence that he's done, but in regards to, that's just violence, you know, that's what he is hiding from Mark. So and it's something that I'm sure Mark kind of just accepts. Like, he kind of knows that he's a very violent and done horrible things. And with that, the scales balance because it's just Mark and his violence. You know what I mean? Like, so, and the violence is justified on the scales because of his sacrifices and because it was in service of Khonshu and because. Now, we'll see more about that, obviously, next episode because he's in the Field of Reeds. The show's not going to end with Harrow winning. That's just obvious. He's going to come back somehow. And it's going to be, I'm guessing, him. I would bet he'll be told that if he leaves, he will never return, and he will make that sacrifice to save millions. That's what I think, at least. And I want to touch on something real quick about the suit. I've complained. I've said I hate the suit, which I still do. However, after this episode and seeing the scene with him and Khonshu when he's, you know, agreeing to become Moon Knight, it came around him to heal him, and artistically, again, I said early even then when I was upset about it, I get why they do it. It looks cool, and now it has some meaning as to why it does that as well. As we saw in this episode, when he first got the powers and became Khonshu's Moon Knight, that it has an actual meaning versus just to look cool. So that helps a little bit. I still don't like it. I'm not a fan because I feel like that is just... I still don't like it, but it makes a little more sense now, and I'm okay with it. Now, the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because I feel like we have, like I said, we lost this version of Steven, but I think what's going to happen is at the end of the series, the season, Steven's going to be recreated in the image of the comic version where he's a rich millionaire who designs cool gadgets and stuff. And I think we'll also meet Frenchie as well. I feel like Frenchie's actually going to come save him. Frenchie, I think, works primarily with Jake while still working with Steven. I don't think that anyone really knows that Jake's a different person, a different alter. They just, whenever he goes into that mode and gets all violent, they just think it's Mark, you know. Because he's a mercenary, whatever. Not heartless, though. Like, it seems like heartless and violent to every extent, like Jake seems to be. But I feel like I said, he's going to almost create another alter, but for a different purpose, and make him a suave millionaire. And I feel like his accent's going to be fixed too, because a lot of people complained about his bad English accent. It's because it was created by a freaking child. I mean, back off, people. But now this time it'll be created by a adult with better understanding of the accent. So I think it'll be a suave, sophisticated Bruce Wayne type millionaire that we see. I think it'd be kind of cool if he like walks into like a party or something. He's got a nice suit on, a white suit. And someone tries to introduce him to Ernst. And then it's going to cut to black with the shock, the look on his face like, I know you. And then comic fans and people listening to my podcast will know who it is, but most people won't. And I think that would be awesome. But that's really my spiel on Moon Knight Episode 5, The Asylum. Let me know what you think. If you have any comments or disagree with anything I said, please let me know in the comments. And if you like the content and you like Marvel content or any multi-fandom content, by the way, I mean, it doesn't really have to be just quote-unquote stereotypical nerd stuff. Like I have said many times, you can nerd out about anything. If you have a topic you want to discuss, please leave it in the comments below, and I might focus an entire episode on it if I too want to talk about it. Now do me a favor, like I said, like, share, subscribe, do all that great stuff for the algorithms. It really helps out, and it means a lot to me. I do these even if I have zero views or zero listens. I don't care. I'm still going to put my thoughts out there for people to hear if they want to, and it means a lot if we can get that to more people so that more people can be as informed as me, because I always say knowledge is power, and the more power and knowledge we can get to the mass of the nerd community, the better. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime, signing off.